while you're turning that up, say is obviously if we're turning to the Psalms, we're going to break from our series on the New Testament church now just for the summer months. There are a few more areas that we want to cover in that, but we'll take that up again in September. Probably over the month of September we'll finish up that series. But over the next few weeks in July, we're going to be looking at some of the Psalms. We've been looking at some Psalms on the Wednesday night in the Bible study, but we're going to look at some Psalms over the next few weeks as well on the Lord's Day morning. So Psalm 42 and the verse 1, and we'll go to the end of Psalm 43. God's word says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for thee, for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen. We'll finish at the end of Psalm 43. And we know that the Lord will bless this reading of his word to our hearts. Psalm 42 commences a section within the book of the Psalms. It commences both a primary section and it commences a subsection within the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms can be divided into five separate sections. The first section from Psalm 1 to 41. The second section then from Psalm 42 to 71. Then Psalm 71 to 88. Psalm 89 to 106. And then Psalm 107 to the end. In each of those sections we can see the division. We can see the very clear division as you read through the book of Psalms by how the verses of the last Psalm in that section finish. So for example, if you look at the end of Psalm 41, which will be on the page before you, it finishes off, Amen and Amen. It finishes with a double Amen. If you were to turn to Psalm 72, which completes the next section, you'll see the same thing. And you'll see it again in Psalm 89. It finishes with a double Amen. Psalm 106 finishes section 4. It finishes with an Amen and a Hallelujah. And then the final Psalm, Psalm 150, finishes simply with Hallelujah. So there are five sections within the Psalms. This Psalm 42 commences the second section. But you know, within that section, there are subsections as well. And as I was looking at this and identifying this, from Psalm 42 through to Psalm 49, there's a subsection of Psalms. And all of them are written to the sons of Korah. You'll see in Psalm 42, it says to the chief musician, Maskell, for the sons of Korah. All of the Psalms from 42 through to 49 are written to the sons of Korah. Now, if we think about the Psalms and we think about the book of Psalms and how they are effectively songs of praise. In fact, the Hebrew title of the book is the word Tehillim, and it literally means the book of praises. They're songs of praise. If you were to pick up your Redemption Songs book that's in the pew in front of you, and you look at the index of that book, you'll see that the hymns are arranged by theme. Or they're arranged by subject, and there's sections and subsections within your hymn book. Within the book of Psalms, there's a similarity there. There are some places in the Psalms where there are sections and there are subsections. One writer says that this section from Psalm 42 to 72 speaks about the ruin and the future redemption of the nation of Israel. And when you go through the Psalms, you can see how prophetically that is the case. And we know that that will take place prophetically, speaking about Israel and its future. We know how the nation of Israel as a nation, they rejected the Messiah. But we know that there will be a national turning to the Lord in a future day yet to come. So we can see that that may well be the setting. But you know, even though the section in the book of Psalms from 42 through to 72 is prophetic in a sense and speaks prophetically, the promises of the Psalms are very precious to the Christian. And it's important that we understand that. You know that the book of Psalms are referred to over 400 times in the New Testament. Over 400 different times when there's a quotation from a psalm found in the New Testament. Demonstrates the importance of this book of Psalms in the life of the church today. These two psalms that we've read this morning are actually considered by, I think, nearly every commentator who I looked at over the past few days as I was studying this. They all say that Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 really should be seen together as one psalm. They naturally run together. They have the same theme that runs through them, and even the way that they conclude in exactly the same way. If you look at the start of Psalm 43, if you have a Bible that puts a title on each of the psalms, you'll see that Psalm 43 doesn't have a title. Psalm 42 has that title. Psalm 44 has a title. Psalm 45 has a title. Psalm 43 doesn't. So there is a sense that as the commentators have been looking at this and as I've been looking at it this week, I can see exactly what they mean. That Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 could actually be seen as one psalm. I'm not saying we reduce our Bible down to 149 psalms. That's not what I'm saying. But what we can do is we can look at these together and we can see how the context of them sits together, and we can see that the theme that runs through Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 is the same. And here it is. Having our hope in God. Having our hope in God. That's the thought that goes through Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. You see, the writer of these two psalms has placed that as the central theme. You see it in verse 45. In the middle of verse 45, the psalmist says, "Hope thou in God." And then in verse 11 of Psalm 42, in the middle of the verse, "Hope thou in God." And then Psalm 43 in verse 5, "Hope in God." That's the theme. And as I thought about that theme over these past few days, there are things for us to learn as Christians. There are important lessons for us that we can pick out of this. You see, the psalmist who was writing here was in difficult circumstances. And as you read through the Psalms, you can see the difficulties. You can see the problems that they've been going through. There's not one of us that can't say we have had difficult circumstances. We all can say it. Some of us are going through difficult circumstances right now. Some of us are facing problems and issues and challenges in our lives right now that maybe others don't know anything about. The psalmist here was going through difficulties. The psalmist, as you read through, you can see the process that he follows through as he goes through those difficulties. Can I say to you this morning that we're encouraged in the Word of God time and time again to apply the truth of the Word of God to all circumstances of our lives, both good and bad. We look to the Word of God. I had a Sunday school teacher, I remember, and I'm going back quite a while now. We were talking beforehand about memory and about remembering people's names and things like that. I'm going back 35 years now, but I had a Sunday school teacher, I'll not forget this. And he's the first Sunday of a new term in September, when we came back after the holidays, he taught us, everyone in the class, the words of Romans 15 and verse 4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Do you know, the Word of God provides hope for the child of God. The Word of God provides comfort for the child of God, the Word of God, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. I'm thankful for that truth in difficult times. Because none of us are immune to difficulties and none of us are immune to problems. But I'm thankful that we can turn to the Lord. And I'm thankful that we can find direction through His Word in times of difficulty and in times of problem. And as a Christian this morning, I hope you're thankful too. I hope that you're thankful for all the blessings that we find in God's Word. You know, as we look at these two Psalms today, I want to say to you, and I'll reiterate this point as we go through, there's hope to be found. And there's comfort to be found. We can see here as we read down through it and spend a bit of time in it that the psalmist speaks about drought. Circumstantial drought, but spiritual drought. The psalmist then goes on and he speaks about being overwhelmed, about drowning. Circumstantial drowning and spiritual drowning. But then as you come on through, you'll see that he speaks about who his defense is. Spiritual defense. I want to take these three instances or three experiences of the psalmist this morning and how the psalmist applies hope. And I want to look at them in a way which I trust will be an encouragement to each one of us so that we'll know that whatever we face and however alone we might feel, and there are times when we feel alone, however alone we might feel, hope thou in God. I want you to see, first of all, in the first five verses of Psalm 42, that the psalmist really here is speaking about depression. During depression, hope thou in God. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitudes. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Do you know, we can't be certain of the specific circumstances of in the life of the writer of these two Psalms. We don't know what he's been facing. We're not certain what the exact issue was, but we can make some reasonable assumptions based upon the practical experiences that he has outlined here in the writing. And I want you to notice, first of all, that he's found himself in a lonely place. He's found himself in a place where he's all alone. He's found himself with no satisfaction to be found from any other source. In the opening verse, we have that phrase that is often used, and we have heard it sung in a gospel song. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. That's the way that it's worded. We have this picture of the deer that's panting for water in a place of barrenness, in a place of emptiness. And as that phrase is used in that gospel song, and of course it's used, and there's different illustrations are taken from various psalms. And as they're taken from the Psalms, they speak about a longing or a desire for the Lord by the Christian. And yes, we can see that. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. But the illustration here in Psalm 42 in its context speaks to a heart of a genuine emptiness. When you put it together with the rest of the verses around it, it speaks here about an emptiness. One Bible commentator says, our inner longing for fellowship with God can be compared to the craving of the deer as it wanders through the parched countryside. Its sides throbbing and its breathing quickened as it longs for the brooks. You know, as we think about this illustration, there's a picture here of someone who has wandered away. Someone who's not where they once were. Someone who's not in that place of communion and fellowship with the Lord that they have known in times past. Through whatever circumstances come upon their life, perhaps through some sin that may have crept into their life. And we don't know the circumstance. But what we do know is that they don't have that closeness anymore with the Lord that they once knew. They know the experience of it. They talk about the experience of it in the verses. But at this moment in time, as they're writing, they're far off. When I think about this verse, I think about the person who's cold at heart. I think about the backslider when we see this thought, first of all, a person who has for a time taken their eyes off the Lord and has set their affection on other things in his place. Can I ask you this morning, is that you? Is that where you are? Maybe if you examine your heart, you'll know that that's the truth. Maybe you once walked well with the Lord. Maybe you once were serving him, but you've gotten yourself to this place where you've wandered. You've been looking for satisfaction in other things. And there's no satisfaction to be found in those other things. You see, the psalmist here knows that. And it's speaking about how they're longing after God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? See, in your heart of hearts. And we all know this. If you're saved this morning, in our heart of hearts, you know that you won't find anything that's lasting or satisfies in this world. Hymn writer said, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. We can try the things of this world to satisfy us, but there's no satisfaction there. The deer knows what they need to quench thirst, physically speaking. So do we. We know what we need to quench our thirst, physically speaking, but spiritually speaking, the Christian who has wandered in their heart of hearts knows what will quench that thirst also. They know what they need. You know, as you read through this section, there's a further insight into the circumstance of the writer, because the writer talks about the things that are needed physically. He talks about the essentials for living in these verses. He talks about the act of breathing, so panteth my soul after thee. He talks about the act of drinking or the thirst. He says, my soul thirsteth for God. In verse 2, in verse 3, he says, my tears have been my meat day and night, or literally my bread day and night. He talks about the need for food. There's all of these physical illustrations here. And we don't get very far in life without those necessary things, do we? We don't. I joked at the start about how much water I've drunk over these past few days, and maybe I was exaggerating a little bit, but the truth is that in the weather that we've had, and I'm not complaining, but in the heat that we've had, the advice that's given is to drink more water and to satisfy our thirst and to make sure that we don't get dehydrated. We've been drinking more to quench our thirst because of our need. Maybe the appetite for food isn't the same in the warm weather, and maybe I could do with some more warm weather. That could be the case. But certainly the need for water is intensified. And the need to satisfy that thirst is intensified. And the psalmists here has found themselves in a place of spiritual despair. They find themselves in that place where they're not where they once were. And they know that the solution is found in coming to the Lord. In fact, they know the solution is found in coming and bowing the knee. It's found in worship. In verse 4, they talk back about previous days. They say, I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. There was a time in their life when they'd worshipped the Lord with a full heart, when they had expressed it in praise and in worship, but you know, now it's different. Now they're not in that place, and they know that they feel the lack of it. They're in this pit that they've got themselves into, feeling that everyone's against them. Feeling that everything's against them. In verse 3, we see the depth of where they've got themselves to. They said, my tears have been my bread day and night, while they continually say to me, where is thy God? And the thought here, when they say, my tears have been my meat or my bread day and night, is that they were so full of self-pity that they were weeping as often as eating. That's the picture. That's the actual picture that's there. And meanwhile, the enemy comes in and taunts them, saying, where's your God? You professed his name. Where's your God now? When you're in this depth that you're in this pit. Beloved, this morning, maybe that's where you find yourself. You know the reality of God because he saved you. You know the reality of the presence of God because you've experienced it in your life and in the past, but now you're far off from that position. You're not walking with the Lord as you once did. Your problems and circumstances and difficulties have come in and they've stolen your joy. Sin has come in. Sin has stolen your walk with the Lord. But you know the thing about it is, you know your way back. The psalmist here knew the way back. But they were simply just in this pit of spiritual depression, weeping day and night. Can I say to you, maybe you're here this morning and you're finding no joy even in coming together with God's people. Maybe you're finding no joy in life. I want to say to you that everyone experiences this from time to time. Can I encourage you that you're not alone? The psalmist writes about it here. The psalmist went through that very same experience. There was a battle going on in his life. And we can see that in verse 5, because the psalmist, while he feels the depth of where he is, he's asking himself, he's saying, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted within me?" Can you see the conflict going on? There's such a conflict going on in this soul. The soul is cast down. There's no peace within. And yet, the psalmist knows the answer. And the answer very simply is this: hope thou in God. I want to say to you this morning that there's nothing new under the sun. Whatever circumstance you're going through, there's been someone through it before. Whatever problem you find against yourself, there's been someone who's faced it before. Whatever pit you find yourself in today, and whatever you're trying to do, humanly speaking, there's peace to be found. But it's found in the Lord. Hope thou in God. Over in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, we read those tremendous words: "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Hope thou in God. During depression, hope thou in God. But the psalmist goes on in the next few verses, verse 6 to verse 11. And we find here, during oppression, hope thou in God. So we read down the verses, he continues on, he says, "O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All the waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies approach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God." During oppression, you move on to this section. The psalmist has begun to take some steps, moving out of that pit of depression. They know their need. They know the solution, but now they take steps to rectify their relationship, their walk with the Lord. And you see how it starts, because in verse 5, at the end of the first section, they're asking themselves, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" But at the start of the next section, verse 6, they're speaking unto the Lord, and they're bringing the problem to the Lord. What do they say? "O my God, my soul is cast down within me." They bring it to the Lord. Psalmist speaks again about times in the past when they've known the Lord guiding and strengthening them. Psalmist speaks about the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, and he speaks about the hill Mizar. And when you read about and you look at where it speaks about Jordan and the Hermonites, these two locations refer to places where the waters flow from the north to the south down through the land. And as you look at verse 7, you can see it speaks about waters there. "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." And the picture here again is of being overwhelmed, feeling the pressure. We thought about this a few weeks back in the Bible study. We were looking at Psalm 142 and verse 3, speaking about being overwhelmed. But you know, the picture here when it speaks about the hill Mizar, that the literal meaning of that is of a little hill. And the commentator, one commentator says that the writer felt small in the midst of the storm. Sometimes we can feel small, can't we? Sometimes we can feel as though we're nothing. Sometimes we can feel that there's nothing that we can do. We're so small against the problem. The writer feels here that they're in a storm and that everything's against them. But there's not just the idea that everything's against them. There's the thought here that everyone is against them. Verse 9, "Why go I mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they daily say unto me, where is thy God?" Everything's against me. and every one's against me, and I'm oppressed on all sides, and I'm overwhelmed. The psalmist has come from depression, and the psalmist now is at a stage of being oppressed. They're moving through a process here. They're seeking for that fresh fellowship with the Lord. They know they need Him. They know that they want that fellowship with Him, and as they seek for Him, the enemy moves against them. Do you think that the enemy won't move against the Christian who's wayward as that Christian tries to renew that fellowship, to have that fresh and that renewed walk with the Lord? Of course the enemy will come and will put obstacles in the way. But in the middle of all of that, we have verse 8. The psalmist says this: "Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." All these things are against me. All these people are against me, but in the midst of it all, the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful realization that the psalmist has come to here. And you know, we can face trials on a daily basis, as we know. We can face opposition as Christians. Sometimes things are smooth. Sometimes things are great, but oftentimes it will be difficult. And that's a truth for us to realize in the day and age in which we live. We weren't promised a bed of roses. We weren't promised a smooth and an easy path. In fact, we're told in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. That tells me it's a battle. And as we look around us in our land, and we look at the circumstances in our land, and we look at the things that are happening, it seems as though our land is heading on a downward road. And it's going at a breakneck speed. Many are the enemies of the people of God. And there are many enemies. We face many trials as Christians. Problems from without. George Miller said, "Trials are food for faith to feed on." Story of George Miller, you know, he set up the orphanage in Bristol, and how as he continued to feed thousands of children over the years, and he never had a want and he never asked for anything, but the Lord continued to meet his need. Right up to the very last moment at times as he prayed, wondering where the next meal was coming from, wondering where the next supply was coming from, and the Lord met the need every time. And he went through his trials, and he went through opposition, and he said, "Trials are food for faith to feed on." It's the same for us. It's in the trial that our faith is strengthened. And it's in the trial that our faith is tested. You see, the psalmist knows the Lord is there. And that's why the psalmist says the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night His song shall be with me. Think back to verse 3 in the first section. The psalmist says, "My tears have been my meat day and night." My tears have been my meat day and night. But now by verse 8, the psalmist says, the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night His song shall be with me. The Lord's there, day and night. I don't know about you, but sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night. And as I'm getting older, it happens more. But sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, and you start to think about something. Maybe something comes into your mind, and maybe it's something that's been causing you a wee bit of concern, or you know it's going to cause you a bit of concern, or you're thinking about something that someone has told you. You wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and it seems 10 times bigger. And that is the case so often. Things seem worse in the midst of the night. The psalmist says, "In the night His song shall be with me. What do we do when things seem at their darkest and their worst? We know that the Lord is there, and we praise His name. The Lord's there day and night, in depression and in oppression. And we come to this verse 11 again, and the question is asked. And it's a question this time, but I think there's a difference. I think there's a hope when we come to verse 11. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" The psalmist has been talking about the blessings of God in verse 8 and how the Lord will command His loving kindness. And now he's saying, because of this, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Do you notice the difference between verse 5 and verse 11? In verse 5, the psalmist is still talking about himself, he says, I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The presence of the Lord is evident, but it hasn't come into reality. But in verse 11, the psalmist refers to his own countenance and how it has been changed by the presence of the Lord. I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. And he sees that the Lord is there, and that the Lord is blessing, and that the Lord's loving kindness will be commanded day and night. The Lord has brought him out of this place of drought or out of depression. He's brought him through the drowning out of oppression, and therefore he tells himself again, he says, hope thou in God. Beloved, this morning, that's where our hope must be. When we're overwhelmed, when we can't see a way through or a way out or a way over or whatever it might be, hope thou in God. David writes in Psalm 61 and verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. During depression, hope thou in God. During oppression, hope thou in God. And then in Psalm 43, as we come to this, we see that in his confession, he says, hope thou in God. This is his confession. Now, as you read through this Psalm 43, the psalmist has come to a place where he's acknowledged that he needs the Lord. He's come to this place where his focus has dramatically changed from himself. And as you read Psalm 43, you'll see that the focus is more upon the Lord. He says, thou art the God of my strength. He says, send out thy light and thy truth. Then I will go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. The focus is more upon the Lord. You see, he knows he needs the Lord in all circumstances. He's come to that realization. You see, in verse 1 of Psalm 43, it says, judge me and plead my cause. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause. The word judge there, it literally has the thought of being vindicated. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause. And the psalmist here in his acknowledgement of God is saying to the Lord that he depends solely upon him for his deliverance and for his defense. You see, it's an unusual scenario that we have, because it wouldn't happen in a normal court of law. It wouldn't happen today that the judge would be the defense. But that's the wonderful reality for the child of God here. Our judge here is our defense. The one who passes judgment upon us in the sense of our salvation is also the one who provides our salvation. What does that tell us? It tells us that we're saved from the judgment of God by God. You ever think about that? Saved from the judgment of God by God through the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we move through these verses, and we're nearly finished, but we see the depths that the psalmist has been in. They're brought to light as he sees the greatness of God and the strength of God. He says, God, my exceeding joy. God is his exceeding joy. Beloved, this morning, is that your experience? Is that where you are this morning in your relationship with God, that he is your exceeding joy? You look into the Lord. Do you see him as this? In verse 4, it tells us, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. We're brought to a place, as we recognize that, where we will praise him. Upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. We will praise him. We will worship him. There's a progression here. Verse 3, what does it tell us? It says, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill. And unto thy tabernacles, to the holy hill of God, to thy tabernacles. Verse 4, I will go unto the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy. Do you know, we think about that phrase, my exceeding joy. As I thought about that in the study on Friday evening, and I was reminded of the words in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 10. Do you remember the wise men who'd come from the east, and they were seeking for the Lord? They were seeking for Messiah. And they knew the prophecies about him. Tells us that the star stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. That was because they had found who they were looking for. They'd found the one they were looking for. And the psalmist here has come back into that relationship with God. He's come from that pit that he was in. And now he's come to the altar of God, to God, his exceeding joy. He's found what he's looking for. That fellowship with God. The hymn writer says, oh, for a closer walk with God. a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. But you know, the hymn writer knew what it was to be cold. He said, "Where is the blessedness I knew when once sought the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and His blood? Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast." Hymn writer knew what it was to be far from God. The psalmist knew what it was to be far from God, but they knew what it was to come back to the Lord. What was the reality of it here? Hope thou in God. That's what the psalmist says. Hope thou in God. Can I ask you, is the Lord the gladness of your joy? That's what it literally means, my exceeding joy. Is the Lord the gladness of your joy? In Isaiah 61 and 10 it says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful unto my God." Are you joyful in what you have in the Lord today? The psalmists find peace after the storm. The psalmists find peace after the drought. Why? Because their hope was in God. He was their defense in all circumstances. Now, as we conclude, is that where we are today? As individuals. And I've had to ask myself this question this week too. Are we living this out? Am I living this out today as I ought to be? My friend, maybe you're finding it hard at the minute. Maybe you're finding it difficult. And I know some are. Some are in the time of drought in their Christian experience. The answer is this. Hope thou in God. And there are some who are in that period where they feel that they're overwhelmed with everything that's going on, and the answer is still the same. Hope thou in God. You see, we all want to be in that place where we know that great assurance that He's our defense, that He's our exceeding joy. But even when we're there, we always need to remember, hope thou in God. Romans 8 and 18 says, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." That's our future. The glory that shall be revealed in us. But as Christians today, we'll go through difficulties. We'll suffer at times. We'll have problems and we'll have issues. And while we're there, we just simply have to hope in God and look to Him. During depression, during oppression, let it be our confession that we're hoping in the Lord. We're going to sing our closing hymn just now. It's going to come up on the screen, 348. "O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Saviour and life more abundant and free." And we'll stand to sing, please, after the key.